Just to explain what's happening this morning, as you can see, Joshua isn't here. I'm here instead. But Joshua is preaching at Blair Daff. So what he's done, he's actually recorded the sermon for today, and he's also recorded the blessing at the end of the service. So actually, we get the best of Joshua on the sermon, and we also know that he has been an ambassador for us at Blair Daff, so that's very good. So we're going to go into the blether, and then I'll do the formal welcome.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this joint service of worship. And it's nice to see everyone here on the screen, and a warm welcome to all of our involved churches today. We'll start things off with sharing a bit of news from each of our parishes, starting with our friend Neil in Kintore. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Joshua, and hello, everybody. It is Ash Wednesday as we're recording this blether today, which means it's the start of the journey of Lent towards Easter. And at Kintore, we'll be working through a series put together by World Vision called Living Water, and that will take place during our services in the morning, but also we'll be introducing an evening service, a series just for Lent, at 7 p.m., and everybody's welcome to join us at Kintore for a series. It's more of a discussion group, an informal chat, more than a church service, but we will include worship, and you're very welcome to join us at 7 p.m. every night during Lent, starting this Sunday on the first Sunday of Lent. Over to Stella.
Thank you and welcome to all. We'll look forward to receiving some material from all of the other ministers for our Lent practices and sharing in the activities in the other churches, as we won't be doing anything directly. And just a word that our session will be meeting on the 9th of April at 7 p.m., a hybrid of Zoom and in person, to discuss the presbytery plan and some prayers for our session as they meet to discuss that. Now over to Tozy in Kintore.
Okay, thank you. Just to add on what Neil has said, this Sunday is our Mercy Church Sunday, which starts at 3:30 p.m. and it will end with a dinner or a meal. Wishing to see you there. Now I hand over to Ewan.
Thank you, Tozy. This coming Sunday, we are looking forward to having our first in-person Sunday school since lockdown began. We have been running online, but the children and families are going to be in church on Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. We're also having a baptism, so it'll be a lovely family atmosphere in church. And I have been given advice on what hymns to sing, so that the children are encouraged to sing. So we're going to have some family-orientated hymns. So please come along and join in with them. Masks on, sadly, but we will just enjoy it nonetheless. This coming week following, we will continue our Lenten journey through our midweek services, and that's online on our Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel. If you're not sure, just when you go to YouTube, look at Clooney Money Musk, all one word, and you'll find our site with our videos. And next Sunday, we return to normal as worship at 10 o'clock at Money Musk. So it's a good weekend for us this weekend with lots of different activities. And now I hand you back to Joshua.
Thank you, Ewan, and thank you all for sharing that news about what's going on around our respective parishes and in our grouping. It's always good to hear. a bit of news about Kemne, as we'll continue, of course, with Sunday worship at 10 a.m. and then 10:30 a.m. over at the church center. We continue to have our children's Sunday school, and families are very welcome to start in the church and make their way over to Sunday school at 10:30, or they can simply join us at 10:30 in Sunday school and just go from there. Mondays in Kemne, Monday evenings, will also be the continuation of our online Bible study. If you'd like more information about that, please be in touch with me. On Friday mornings, we have another children's group of Little Lambs of Kemne. It's a music and play group that meets most weeks during the school term. And there's a Facebook page of Little Lambs of Kemne where more information can be found. And of course, also for me this weekend, I have the great privilege and pleasure of going out to Blair Duff to conduct worship, and very much looking forward to being out there to see the lovely folk and to have that connection and to continue to help build a relationship between our respective parishes. So I'll also be preaching in Kemne via a recorded sermon. So I've mastered the art finally of being in more than one place at a time. So it's taken me this long, but we're very glad for that, but very much looking forward to being out with our friends in Blair Duff. So friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it together, and let us worship God.
Okay, as I said, welcome to everybody who's here worshiping in the building here, but also to those who are worshiping with us through the live stream, and those who are also worshiping through the catch-up service. We pray that God will be with us all. We're going to open our service with the song, I Need Thee Every Hour, a song that really speaks about our dependence on God for every part of our lives. Let's stand and sing, I Need Thee Every Hour. God in prayer. Let us pray. We praise you, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We praise you, the Creator and Sustainer of all things. We praise you for our freedom to worship you, to be able to come here to meet together, and to be able to meet online as well. We thank you that you provide for us, and that we can grow in our faith as you minister to us and through us. We thank you for your grace in salvation through Jesus our Lord. We thank you that that grace has been given to us because of your great love. And we thank you that we can depend on you for all things. We do indeed need you every hour. And we thank you that you are always there for us. We thank you for expanding your kingdom. We thank you that you want more and more people to come to know you, to know your redemption, to know your life. Lord, as we thank you, we also know that we fail you so often, and we ask for your forgiveness for when we have failed you during the course of the last week. We failed you when we have not thought about you. We failed you when we've done the things that we shouldn't have done, or failed to do the things that we should have done. Forgive us, Lord, and please restore us, and please guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we can come closer to you and walk closer to you as the coming week comes on. We pray for your blessing on our service. We pray that you'll be amongst us, and pray for your message to us, Lord. We pray for Joshua at Blair Daff, and we pray for all the churches in our grouping, and we pray for our children too as they gather together in the church centre. May you bless them and thank you for them. We thank you that we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for your Holy Spirit here amongst us. Amen. It's really nice to see the families with us. Very nice to have all the children here as well, so it's really good to see you. That's one of the things that we really did miss during the lockdowns, was just not having the families here. It was really not good. I want to ask you a very quick question before you go off, though. Well, in fact, a few questions, to be honest. Would you have got to church this morning if you didn't have your parents helping you to get ready for church? How many of you think you would have got to church without your parents helping? Anybody? Oh, Lewis, you would have got here. Yes, you could have got here without your parents. So you would have made your own breakfast. Oh. You get to school yourself. Oh, very good. Now, do you make all your own meals? Sometimes. Do you make all your own meals? Gosh, it's making it hard, isn't it? So, do you make all your own meals?
Not all.
No. Do you earn the money to buy your meals? How many of you earn the money to buy your meals? Do you earn your money? No. Okay, how many of you actually own the house that you live in? Right, very good. Okay, so When you live your life, do you think you could live your lives without your parents or without someone caring for you? Do you think you would be able to do that all by yourself? Well, no, it's really important that you have your families, your parents to look after you, isn't it? To provide for you. So you depend on them and they look after you. Now, do you think that parents can do everything by themselves? Oh, microphone. Oh, dear. You see. Yeah. Yes, now you can hear me. do you think parents can do everything by themselves?
No.
No, no. Even the best parents, and I was one of the best. I even... sorry, was that on camera? So even the best parents, they can't do everything by themselves. I mean, the electricity we use in our home, we don't make that, do we? No, the gas we use for heating, the oil we use for heating, all those things, they come from other people. The medicine that we get when we're feeling ill, we don't make that as parents. We depend on someone else to do it. So just as parents rely on other people, all of us actually rely on God. So when we say that we can look after ourselves, we're not quite right. We depend on God. And the song we just sang before was that we need you every hour, reminds us that God is with us, that he wants us to depend on him, and he leads us. And one of the things you're going to be learning about this morning is about God's love and how it's expressed through us to other people, but his love and care for us. So we're going to sing a song for you, which is God's Love is the Best Love. For those of us who are of a certain age, we will recognize the tune, and we probably won't stop singing it for the rest of the day. But we'll pass over to yourselves.
Yeah, well, I hope we're all going to sing this. We're not going to sing it for you, quite. But the tune you should be familiar with. We have sung this before in church. I think you all recognise the tune very quickly. And you can work out the arches as we go along, because there are arches to sing it. It's all time. The reading this morning continues in our series from James, and is from James chapter 4, reading from verse 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do
and doesn't do it sins. May God bless his word to us. We'll now go and just checking that that was the whole reading. It's a very short one this morning. But we'll now go on to the sermon, which, as I said, has been pre-recorded by Joshua.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. Well, as most of you know, if not all of you, I grew up in Washington State on the west coast of the United States of America. And growing up, I remember being surrounded by mountains, lakes, trees, fresh air, friendly people. It sounds a lot like Scotland as well, to be perfectly honest. I lived there until I was about 23, and having felt a call to ministry, I knew that further schooling would be required after university. So after a lot of prayer, thinking, and conversation with others, I applied to and was accepted to Princeton Seminary in New Jersey to be trained as a minister of word and sacrament. Apart from a short trip during high school years, I'd never been to the East Coast of the United States. And once I landed in New Jersey, I was excited to find the time to take a train up to New York City. During my first solo trip to New York, I decided simply to wander around Manhattan, the beating heart of the city, taking in some of the more famous sights in the entire world. One of the most impressive places I remember seeing was the United Nations compound, which sits on 16 acres of very prime real estate in Manhattan. It's an impressive sight. The building reaches into the sky. The flags of the world's nations all flutter in the wind around the building. And at the very center of all the flags is the iconic blue and white UN flag, with its two white reeds of olive branches surrounding the world. It's a hopeful sign. Along with the grandeur of the building, it is, of course, commonplace to see all sorts of dignitaries of various levels stepping out of limousines, luxury sedans, to attend what are surely meetings of grave importance. These days, if one were to go to the United Nations, such meetings are likely centered on the grave crisis in Ukraine. Given the gravity of discussions and decisions made at the United Nations, one might assume that such a place would have some sort of chapel or place of worship, where those tasked with such weighty decisions could take time to pray and ask for God's guidance. But as far as I know, there is no chapel inside of the United Nations. There is an impressive church center across the street from the UN, and it is owned by the United Methodist Church, and various Christian denominations make use of it. But what is inside the UN is what is called a meditation room. Now, after a visit to this meditation room, Charles Colson described it as such. He said, "The small room is devoid of people or decoration. The walls are stark white. There are no windows. A few wicker stools surround a large square rock at the center of the room. And it is very quiet. There is no altar, no rug, vase, candle, or symbol of any type of religious worship. Lights in the ceiling create bright spots of illumination on the front wall. And one focuses on a piece of modern art, of steel squares and ovals. Beyond the abstract shapes, there's nothing in those bright circles of light. Rather, they seem focused on a void. And it is in that void that the visitor suddenly sees the soul of a brave new world." Not exactly flattering words about the meditation room at the United Nations. And I don't share this to criticize the UN or the dedicated people who work there. Their work is good and commendable and needs to continue. Instead, I share this story because it displays the attitude of an increasingly secular world. The nations are trying to pursue the good. They're trying to come together for the noble pursuits of peace and prosperity for all, for an end to warfare. But they're largely trying to do so without any strong reference to God. And this isn't only to do with grand structures like the United Nations. More and more, people in countries of great prosperity, countries like the United Kingdom, the United States, and elsewhere, the people in these countries make massive life decisions without substantial reference to the will of God. And this is true even of Christians. We make so many choices in our lives. We make choices of great weight and import, choices about marriage, about work, about children, property, hobbies, retirement, and many, many other things without serious consideration of God's will. Yes, we'll talk to ourselves, our spouses, our friends, our advisors. Certainly, we talk to a lot of people. We solicit advice quite freely. But more often than not, I think we make these decisions without serious consideration of God's will. What does God want for our lives? What kind of path does God desire us to take? But more often than not, we don't pay a lot of attention to this. And today's passage from James speaks against such a dangerous mentality. And we must admit it does so with great force. When it comes to the topic of knowing and following God's will, we can divide this passage into two main sections. First, we have the first section of verses 13 and 14, which covers what we must never say. And we also have verses 15 and 16, what we must always say. So let's look first at what we must never say. In verse 13, James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." In this verse, James is addressing those believers who make plans about the course of their lives, about their ideals, their hopes and dreams with no reference to God's will. To be sure, it is very likely that in this text, James is challenging people who were not, bad, evil, or wicked people. Instead, he's addressing people who claimed Christian faith, but were swept along, really, in the currents, goals, and aspirations of their culture. And in our day and age today, in our kind of culture, everyone, I think, it's hard to think of exceptions to this, everyone holds the goal of prosperity, safety, and financial security. We largely assume that such things, this trajectory of onwards and upwards, we assume that these things are God's will for our lives, or are at least by default perfectly compatible with the Christian life. And we also assume, I think, that anything that detracts or hinders these pursuits is against God's will. These are more implicit beliefs. If we stop and think about it and analyze these things, perhaps we would come to different conclusions. But I'm talking about the default way of living for most, if not all of us. These days, it is common to have parents tell their children things like, "Be sure you get into a good profession where you make a great living so that you won't have to struggle like I did." Now, there is no doubt in my mind that such advice is well meant. Maybe even has some wisdom in it. But it also reveals an expectation of how life ought to be. And for Christians, it betrays what we think God's will for our lives really is. But all too often, as we said, we wrongly link God's will with a trajectory of onwards and upwards. But in reality, following God's will guarantees no such thing. It guarantees no such trajectory. Frankly, it is hard to see when we stop to think about it, when we stop to pray about it, it's hard to see how such a mentality of onwards and upwards and increasing prosperity can be truly squared, reconciled with our Lord's call to bear our crosses and follow after him. In light of this, an obsession with a trajectory of onwards and upwards could be, it could be, the absolute worst thing for our spiritual lives, because it might lessen our dependence on the Lord. All too often, it seems like we want to live with the trappings of Christian faith, with the comfort and joy it provides. But then we try to live the rest of our lives without serious reference to God's will. At the risk of being harsh, this way of paying what is effectively lip service to God and then doing as we please is really a form of practical atheism. Practical atheism. In verse 14, James absolutely shreds this way of living when he writes, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." He said, you make plans before, but you do not know what tomorrow will bring. "What is your life?" he says, "for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." The same idea is not unique to James, but the same idea appears in other parts of Scripture. Look at Psalm 103. "As for a person," the psalmist writes, "his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more." We make our plans, but the truth is that nobody, nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow may bring blessing. It may bring calamity. Tomorrow may bring clarity, or it might bring confusion. And it is, especially for Christians, the height of arrogance to make our plans without humble reference to God's will. The Bible reminds us that we cannot know the events of each coming day. And it also reminds us that life is short. Part of my nearly daily routine, I suppose it is daily, is to let our Labrador Benny, short for Benny He, of course, to let him out to the garden before we all go to bed at night. I don't mind doing this during the warmer times of the year, but sometimes Benny can test my patience during the colder months in Scotland, and let's be honest, that's most of the time here. Of course, I can always tell at night that it is really, really cold when my mutterings and pleadings for Benny to hurry up to do his business and come back inside, when these pleadings rise up in front of me in a misty cloud and then quickly disappear as my teeth are chattering. According to James, this is what life is like. This mist that appears for a moment and then dissipates. And he says any other depiction of life we have is false. Now, thankfully, this isn't the end of the message. It's not a completely downer message, but it is a sobering message. With the reality of life in mind, James shifts away from what we must not say, from this tendency we have to make plans without consulting God's will, without asking for the Lord's will to be done. He shifts from what we must not say to what we must say in the second part of this passage. In verse 15, he lays it out for us directly. He says, "Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" Now, interestingly enough, the expression, "if it is the Lord's will," it doesn't appear anywhere in that exact form. It doesn't appear in the Old Testament at all. But it is used several times in the New Testament. I recently came across a beautiful story about how some Christians in times past would fill their writings and their letters to each other with a Latin phrase, Deo volente. Deo volente. And this translates roughly as God willing. I quite like that. And in the past, there was a tradition in the Methodist tradition to regularly sign one's letters with DV, the initials DV, which is short for Deo Volente, God willing. I think this text from James is clear. if the Lord wills. These words, they can and they must be the constant refrain of the Christian life. If the Lord wills, must be inscribed on every aspect of our lives. As we know, perhaps the Church of Scotland is in a state of great flux and transition. Last Tuesday, on the 1st of March, the Presbytery of Gordon presented a Presbytery mission plan, outlining our attempt to respond to many challenges that we are facing. The plan itself is in draft format, and the planning team, of which I am a part, we need robust feedback from every minister, every session, every congregation about what has been presented. It's in draft format. We're taking feedback and we're doing consultations and surgeries all throughout the next couple months. And we will take these recommendations into consideration before we present the final version of the plan at the May meeting of Presbytery. But in light of what James is saying here, since the plan is still in draft format, I think we should go back and write DV, Deo Volente, at the start and the end of every single page of this plan. For as a presbytery, as churches, as Christians, we can make all the plans that we like. We can plan until we're blue in the face. But apart from God's will, all our plans will come to naught. We should condition ourselves to be saying, if it is God's will, we will follow this plan. If it is God's will, we will deepen our ministry with our neighboring churches. If it is God's will, the church in Scotland will find renewal. To make it more personal, if it is God's will, we will wake up tomorrow, each of us, for another day of life. If it is God's will. God's will is the true basis of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It is what should matter the most to us. Deo volente. God willing. Going forward, may we all submit our entire lives to God's will. May we all live with a real sense of dependence on the Lord, on His love, and His mercy. Deo volente. It's the only way to live. Amen. We continue now in worship with singing together our next hymn, O For a Closer Walk with God.
Thank you.
Let us come together with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Lord, we realize how much we do depend on you. And Lord, we look at the mess that's made when we don't depend on you. We look on the things which are going on in the world. We see the results of sin and ignoring you. And Lord, our hearts and our minds turn to Ukraine. Just the terrible impact of that conflict on people, on cities. We see the suffering, we see the fear. Lord, we ask that you will intervene in that conflict, that you will halt the madness of the invasion, and that, Lord, in some way you will constrain President Putin and his acolytes, and pray that you will help them to change their hearts and change their minds and cease the invasion. We don't know how that will come about or how it could come about, but you are God. You are the God of the impossible. We pray for the people who are suffering, those who are in fear, those who are injured, those who are bereaved, those who are refugees. We pray so much that the invasion will end without further bloodshed, and that world leaders will be given wisdom as they seek to broker peace. May they indeed depend on you. We pray for protection of the people in Ukraine and provision of all their needs. And we pray especially for those who are under siege. We pray that you will break those sieges, and that food, water, and the necessities of life will be provided. We pray for those who are in refugee camps, for those who are seeking to help them as well. We pray for your people amongst them, the people in Ukraine and also those in Russia, that they will be strengthened and equipped as they seek to support one another and reach out to others and be peacemakers and bring your comfort. We ask that you will intervene and bring your love in this darkness. And Lord, as we think of Ukraine, we also think of Afghanistan, the famine and the fear of the Taliban and the fear of Islamic State. Lord, we hear of millions of people who are facing starvation because they have no money to buy anything. We ask that you will enable the leaders to know how to deal with the Taliban, to release funds to enable the people to live their daily lives. And we pray that you will soften the hearts of the Taliban, that people will be able to live their lives without fear of repression. We pray this especially for your people who are being sought out by the Taliban for persecution and possibly even death. We pray that you'll be with them, and that their love for you and their love for their neighbours will be a shining light for your glory. And we pray for Africa and Northwest Africa and for Somalia. Lord, you know that Islamic extremists are actually attacking your people day after day. We pray for protection of your people and a change of heart for the extremists as they encounter the love of Christ. And as we think of Northwest Africa, we pray for Jenna and Richard Margetts and their family and the Wycliffe team in Mali. We pray for the protection for them and their work in spreading your word, and that you will greatly bless that work and your word amongst the churches they serve. And may they again be a great light of hope and great witness to you in those countries. And Lord, as we've been thinking so much about conflicts, the climate change and its impacts have almost gone unnoticed in the news. But Lord, climate change really is upon us, and the dire warnings that have come out from the IPCC this very week about the window of opportunity to halt climate change and keep it within the safe limits is actually closing. We pray so much that world leaders will galvanize and recognize the absolute essential nature of doing something and doing enough. to really halt this catastrophic change that would come about. And Lord, we see the impacts already. We lift up families who don't already have enough to eat because of drought caused by climate change. Please provide for them. Bless and protect the crops in the ground to make a fruitful harvest possible. Keep the livestock these families rely on safe from disease and hunger, and bring rainfall to where it's needed and in the right quantities. And Lord, we do pray for world leaders to do all they can to limit global heating. And may we, the church, speak up and stand with those who are suffering most. And Lord, we do also want to pray for the church in Scotland. In a time of change, may we truly rely on you and seek your will. May we obey your calling and see you grow your church as more and more people of all ages give their lives to you. We pray for our grouping with Blair Daff and Chapla Geary, Kintore, Echt and Midmar, and Monimusk and Clooney, that you will equip all of us to be your loving witnesses to our communities, that we will see you revive us with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, we will see your church grow indeed. Lord, we thank you that we can bring all these things to you. And Lord, if it is your will, you will bring these things about. And Lord, may we thank you again for giving us the prayer which sums up all our thoughts as you teach us the Lord's Prayer as we say together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is In Christ Alone. I think it's probably one of the favourites of us all, and it really does express how Christ is everything. Without him, we have nothing. We depend on him.
Oh,
Deo volente. God willing. Friends, brothers and sisters, as we go into another week, may we all seek God's will for our lives, for our community, and for our church. And as followers of Jesus Christ, may God give us the courage we need to follow wherever he may lead us to go. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.